What a beautiful day. A day that God has sent us. Blake, thank you for coming our way. Enjoyed the singing today very much. Rod, for the scripture you read, the prayer you gave. Very thankful for that. Rod has been an inspiration to me in the prison work. Bill Shannon, I'm glad that I was able to teach you about grace. But it's a two-way street. And Bill has taught me a lot about love, seeing the way he loves Scripture, loves his family. Grateful for Glenn saying words about giving, meaningful words. Appreciate that very much. After I speak, we'll be followed by Clyde and Shelby. They'll have some very meaningful words to say about eldership, and Shelby will talk also about the same passage I'm going to talk about. Two great minds work the same way, I found out this morning. At the end, then, we will be blessed to hear Craig and David tell us about their work in the eldership with us and why they're leaving. In the Old Testament, elders were a key part of the structure of Israel, but the elders there were really more political and civil government on that side of it. The Torah of God, that is God's instructions, his guidance, we would usually say his law, those were brought to us by Moses and Samuel and the Nathans and the Amoses and the Isaiahs brought God's word to people and taught them how to worship and to know the difference in good and evil and to understand the moral standards that God wanted for his people. But in the New Testament, as time drew near for the church to take shape, the New Testament elders actually are associated more with the ecclesia of Christ that he died for. And a careful examination of the passages and terminology used of elders will make it very, very clear about their functions and qualifications. The Greek word poimen is a word meaning shepherd. And, of course, we obviously understand that shepherds are to guide the sheep and to help take care of them. A second word, again, which shows something of the function is episkopos, a word that literally means an overseer because they have oversight and they, again, have the care of the flock. And these two words, those first two words, basically kind of define the function of elders, what they do. The word presbyteros that we use more frequently, the word for that's translated elder, this word is there, I think, heavily. It emphasizes heavily where they are in life. The word literally means an old person, but in a special usage, it meant the people who had experience, the people who should be experienced and have they've lived enough time. They're not recent converts, as another scripture says. Put it colloquially, they are men who've been around the block a few times. If you look at all the parallel passages dealing with eldership, then you'll see that simply these are words for different shades of their functions and qualifications. They are words that show you different aspects of their role. What I thought I would do, in fact, I don't have time to talk about the qualifications, but if we did have time to talk about all the qualifications, then the total picture would give us a pretty good idea of who the elders are supposed to be and what their function is. I really only have time, because we have such a full program, I've had time to pick out one passage to talk about. And it was interesting, as I looked and looked and looked for the right passage to say, I came back to something, a passage that I spent a tremendous amount of time on my master's thesis. My thesis was on the first chapter of Philippians from the Greek New Testament. And I remember being especially moved by a few passages, and this was one of them. This passage just meant so much to me. And what I'm going to do here is to give my own translation of verses 1 and then verses 9 through 11, Paul's prayer for the Philippians. It was a prayer for the whole of the congregation there in Philippi, but it emphasized the elders and deacons. Now, today we don't have time to look at the deacons very much. That's another special lesson. It's a lesson that shows that here is a Greek word. There are seven Greek words meaning servant, translated servant. But this word is a word that pictures them at their work. It shows they get getting their hands dirty. It's a word that that it becomes a very meaningful word, and so we'll have to reserve a lesson for it. But listen to how I translate the first verse. Paul and Timothy, dedicated servants. This is a different word, not the same one used for deacon. They both could be translated servant, and then there are five more words. This is a word that was used in the Old Testament for slavery. It first began as slavery, but then it became a special word used with God's servants. It was a word used when God wants to talk about his prophets. He calls them my servants, the prophets. And that Hebrew word ever there then is translated into the first translation ever made of the Old Testament, called the Septuagint, as the word doulos, the same word right here that he uses. And what it basically means is a word where Christ has captured the will of Paul and Timothy, captured their will. They are willing bondservants. What Christ wants is what they want. So dedicated servants of Christ Jesus. To all the true Christians, all the saints, that word is a word that means you've been separated from the rest of the world. You've been separated for purity, for dedication, for devotion. These are the devoted ones, the consecrated ones, the true Christians who worship in Philippi. And then he adds, with the overseers, what are those three words? With the overseers and the deacons. And so as we move to verses 9 through 11, and Shelby, I'd like to say, we didn't know we were going to be doing this. Shelby is going to say some words about the verses in between. But verses 9 through 11 is a prayer that I think about a lot. My prayer is that your love, and again, Greek has four or five different words they could use for love. This is the one you know the most. We adopted our son from an organization, as well as Glenn did, called Agape. And it's from this Greek word. It's a word that means genuine care for and concern for the well-being of people. This is the word, this is why God tells me when he says love your enemies, this is the word used. He doesn't use the verb that goes with it. He doesn't use be fond of your enemies. That's really hard to do. But be concerned about their well-being. So my prayer is that your agape love will overflow and keep on overflowing. But God doesn't want that to be without some kind of guidelines, some kind of direction. Doesn't want it to run wild. But be controlled by real knowledge and keen insight. Even though this prayer is for all the congregation there, and actually for all the Christians to follow, and all, it's also aimed at the deacons and other elders, and I'm aiming at the elders. Controlled by real knowledge and keen insight, resulting in the fact that you'll always try to choose the highest and the best with the absolute result that you will live pure lives of integrity, full of true goodness, that can only come from daily contact with Jesus. And then it concludes, and all of this as we wait for the moment when we see him again, all to the praise and glory of God. So this is my prayer for all of you, for all of us, for all Christians, all deacons, but especially today for those who call themselves elders.
Good morning again. I'd like to thank Dr. Cloud for his insightful thoughts from Scripture about God's plan for the role of elders in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Rodney's high regard for God's Word is so evident when he speaks to us and when we listen to him talk about God's Word. And our eldership is committed to always draw closer to God's Word in all that we do. I would also like to take just this moment to thank our staff for their support and for the hard work that they are doing during this period of transition. I'd like to ask all the current elders to join me here on the stage at this time. While they're joining me, I speak for all of them to say that we want to thank God for bringing before us three men to join the eldership here at the Hendersonville Church of Christ. On behalf of all of us, I would now like to introduce these three men who will join our eldership today. As I call your names, I'd like for you and your wives to join us here on the stage. Our first is Bill Brock and his wife, Susan. They became members here in 1975. Bill has served way back when as a youth huddle group leader, and that term will bring some memories for some of us. That was a long time ago, but he currently serves as an adult Bible class leader and teacher. Doug Brown, his wife, Linda. Doug and Linda have been members here since 2003. Doug has been involved as chairman of the Adult Education Committee and has taught in adult Bible classes on a regular rotation. Also, Doug served as an elder for eight years at his former congregation in Michigan. Thirdly, Kenneth Walker, his wife, Sean. They've been members here since 2000. Kenneth currently serves as a deacon and works with our benevolent ministry. Gentlemen, may I be the first to welcome you as an elder in the Lord's Church here at Hendersonville Church of Christ. Please stand as we pray together. Holy and righteous Father in heaven, I pray that the addition of these men will help to lead this church to be everything that you, Father, want it to be. I pray that we will be known by the way that we love each other. As we strive daily to love and glorify you with excellence in our worship And as we promote spiritual growth in your family here, and as we reflect Jesus by serving and teaching others about your kingdom, I pray that you would bless and guide each elder as we shepherd your flock here at Hendersonville, that your Holy Spirit will sit heavily on our shoulders and guide us as we strive to serve you in the way that would please you. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray, and amen.
As we await the baptism, with the three men who are coming on, there are two of us who are moving on to serve in different areas of the church, whatever God holds in store for us to serve. So I'm going to let Craig say a few words after I say a few words, and then Craig's going to say a prayer for the new men coming in, as well as Maddie getting baptized. So when I became an elder 2 years ago, I made a 2-year commitment to the church, which ended in August. And I'm stepping down to focus more time on my family, my teenage daughters, and my travel obligations at work. I feel the position of an elder doesn't have to be a lifetime commitment. And I've been blessed to serve with the eldership that I've served with. We've got three great men coming in, and I fully support the eldership and look forward to serving however I can help. I've served with these great Christian men who have taught me a lot over the past 2 years. I love and respect these guys, and it's been an honor to serve you. Thank you.
As David has stated, he is stepping down. I, too, will be stepping down. I just wanted to say to this congregation, thank you for that opportunity to serve. It's been an honor. I also want to thank you for your love, for your support, but more than anything, your prayer. Your prayers, just not for me, but for my wife, Wynn, and my family. It is so much appreciated. I ask that you continue to pray for the elders and for the Lord's Church at Hendersonville, because your prayers are powerful and God's listening. So again, thank you. Thank you for these men that I have been honored to serve with. And I ask if you now go with me to prayer as we go to our Father. Father, we're so grateful for the many blessings, the privilege to worship you, Father, in a country, Father, that we can worship you without fear. Father, we know you're here to protect us. Father, we thank you for your word. It's the standard we are to conduct our lives. We thank you for Jesus and his perfection and his life that he lived for us. Father, I ask that you be with Glenn and Carl and David. That you be with Larry and Bill Shannon, with Clyde and Mike, for Rod and Kenneth, for Bill Brock and Doug. Be with their wives and their families as they serve. Be with them, Father. Encourage them and keep them strong, Father. Thank you for David Holdren, for his willingness to serve and his examples and talents that he has given us. Father, I want to pray specifically for each elder, Father, that you will provide spiritual wisdom to fill their responsibilities, Father. Pray that they possess an ever-growing knowledge and understanding of your word. I pray that they will stand their guard against all schemes from Satan, and they desire holiness in their inner being. I pray that they'll be completely humble, gentle, and patient. I pray that their vision for the future of the church will be in line with your vision, Father. And I pray that they seek and maintain unity so to be effective in growing your church. And Father, I pray that you provide them with health, with endurance, and strength as they serve and protect the flock here at Hendersonville. Father, we also want to thank you for Maddie today as she comes forth to put on Christ, Father, Father, I ask you just be with her, surround her as she starts her journey, protect her. And may she seek your word, Father, in the wheels and the ways that you want to grow as a Christian. Be with those that are examples for her as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let our example be her, Father, that we are here to be with her and to help as she travels down this journey, Father, as a Christian. Continue to watch over our church, Father, and bless it. For this prayer I ask in Christ Jesus. Amen.